dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Well, welcome back, SBC sports fans. After our little hiatus here in the pre-spring, we bring you episode number 214 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk, brought to you as always by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Give them a call, 740-773-7529, or look them up on the web. You can find all kinds of detailed information, including their lovely menu that I like to salivate over. It's at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. They're located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way, Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. And we certainly do appreciate their sponsorship of our program as we go rolling along. Again, episode 214, we'd like to say hello to the soothsayers of SVC Sports. First, the young Mr. Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. How are you, Derek?
Good, fellas, good. Glad to kind of get back into a groove here, right?
Right, right. And are you following the Cincinnati Reds this year, young man?
I'm trying not to, but yes, I guess to answer your question, yeah, I am, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're recording on Sunday night, and I think they are now 0-3, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's correct. So,
yep.
And Mr. Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, he's also a dyed-in-the-wool Reds fan, I believe. And Shane, welcome into the show, and I hope you've been following the Reds as well.
I'm optimistic, Bruce. I'm gonna try not to panic. First three games, Reds ended up seeing three pretty good arms there.
Yeah.
We're gonna regroup here, and we're gonna keep it optimistic. Way too early in the year for me to get frustrated with the Reds, or that can really defeat the whole summer. But no, great sports time. You got your final four weekends for women and men's basketball. Mm-hmm. The Masters coming up. Reds opening day is always one of my favorite things in the year, and then obviously high school baseball. And spring sports in general mean a lot to me because I've been a spring coach every single spring since I graduated high school back in 95. So, no, really, really fun time, something I really enjoy. And this spring so far, even though it's been some tough weather, mm-hmm. it's certainly no different. I feel like, you know, the good weather will be on its way, and we got a lot of great sports ahead of us. Looking forward to breaking it down here.
Ever the optimist, Mr. Shane Combs, we are glad you are here as we.
Oh, and two, before we get started,
sure.
Bruce, I wanted to congratulate you, Derek. I know you had some awards here recently since we've last been on the air, so I wanted to congratulate you on that. Well deserved.
I appreciate that. I do. Somebody. You know, I guess they let somebody judge that didn't know what they were doing, but that's fine. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we congratulate you, Derek. That's good stuff. I'm, you know, last year, think back, Shane, we were sitting here and it was just you and me, and
yes.
The other microphone was kind of getting dusty and cobwebby and so forth, and we really missed you. You were gone, I think, for this show about a year ago. So. You're back in God's country, and we certainly appreciate your coverages and everything you do for all the sports in southeastern Ohio. So good to have you back. Well, guys, this is going to be our spring preview show, part one, and we're going to do the ladies first. Going to talk about all the ladies in the SVC athletic programs, focusing today on softball, and we'll discuss some track coverage a little later as well. And we've got some early headlines and some early predictions here that have been thrown out. So I'm going to kind of go over them, and I want you guys, after I've gone through these, to maybe pick and choose one or two topics or maybe something else that kind of crops up and is not even covered. But we'll just kind of kick it around here a little bit. First, we've got proven pitching at Piketon, alliteration there with a P, star in the making at Huntington, and then gut tells me Westfall and Unionoto, Adina appears improved, Southeastern and Zane Trace, a little bit of a mystery, and PV starts life after Newland. What kind of grabs you out of those topics, Derek?
You know, for me, I like, I mean, if you look at the start right now, and I know this is a preview show, but just and to the start that Huntington's had, you know, yeah, they do have a star in the making there and Kylie Kello in the circle. But if you really look at it, I mean, they're putting up runs like it's nobody's business right now. If you just go down the lineup with, you know, you have a Cheyenne Conley at the top, you have a Braden Collins who's, you know, knocking in runs. I believe she's got 10 RBIs already in three games. And then you go down and you have a Brody Entler. I mean, you have, you know, a Phoebe Cockrell. I mean, you have all these, you know, kids that maybe we saw coming last year, but we didn't expect it to just, you know, I mean, they picked up right where they left off last year. I mean, they're you know, beating the crap out of the ball right now. So if they can hit like that and then Kylie Kello can continue to pitch the way she has, you may be looking at a surprise team in the SEC in a Huntington. Mm-hmm. You know, they're definitely scoring with the best of them. They're definitely, you know, doing what they need to be doing in the circle. You know, I believe her first outing was a 22-0 win over, I believe, North Adams. But it was a 5-inning no hitter, and she struck out 12. Mm. It's not a bad way to start a career. So, you know, if they continue to do that, Shane, I really think we could maybe see a surprise team this year.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. I think the Huntington situation is unique. You've mentioned the speed there with Conley Collins, some of the power. You mentioned Brody had the early home run, Coyle with the home run. I knew Lily Snyder, nice talent as well. But I'm kind of intrigued what happens when a league appears a little bit more wide open than it's been in the past. I'm intrigued by how people's gut kind of still leans to Westfall and Unioda, and I guess I can't blame them. You know, I mean, Westfall's offense has the long list of proven hitters. Unioda with Pinkerton and Fisher, and I know their offensive box scores had 3-4 different names from Neff and Paul and Hold and a long list of hitters there. So I'm intrigued by how they're going to set. You know, we mentioned Alexander there at Piketon and the ability to pitch. And then you have some of these kids like, you know, a Paint Valley led by a Liam McFadden. And you look at their lineup, there's a lot of experience in their everyday lineup. If you start to look down, when we say Adina's improved, I know they had a couple girls leave the yard over the weekend there with Johnson and Stark. I just wonder if you're not going to have more teams capable throughout the league of scoring some runs, putting more balls in play, with maybe not the incredibly dominant pitchers at the top of the league. I think you have really, really good pitchers. And I think because of that, I do think a Westfall Union out of Piketon could still maybe separate, maybe Huntington sticking its nose in as well. But I'm just intrigued to see if you can't get a little bit more balance in the softball league this year than maybe we've had in the years past. But I certainly understand why so many predictions kind of say, even though Piketon and Huntington right there knocking on the door, even though Adina improved, that the gut still leans more toward Westfall and Unioda. So to me, that's the headline that jumps out at me, Bruce, because I certainly can understand why more and more teams are getting a look, but why people continue to go back to those two.
How many nights did they get in last week? Was it just a couple? Do you know?
It was really hit and miss. I mean, the schedule was really bizarre. I know Huntington is 3-0, Westfall's 3-0, but a lot of those were doubleheaders over this past weekend. If you didn't open, you either had the opportunity to play in a really, really cold Saturday, way back on the 24th there. Mm-hmm. Most people, as long as they could get their field ready, should have played if they had a doubleheader scheduled this past Saturday. But really throughout the week, Monday, maybe Tuesday, depending on where you were at in Southeast Ohio, and that was about it, I think, Derek. I mean, we went three or four nights there without a whole lot of action, didn't we?
Yeah, welcome to spring, right?
Right.
We'll talk about that. So, all right, well, we're going to keep these shows just a little bit shorter than the normal shows in the preview for type format. We're going to move on to a new spring segment, and that is brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call at 740-986-4653. They're located up at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport. And tell them the boys from SVC Sports Zone sent you. I'll tell you, even though I don't golf a lot, with the improved weather and so forth, Shane, it's about time to get out there if you can do so and hit the little white ball around. With the Masters coming up, you know, everybody's an optimist, like you said earlier. So
yeah, well, it is. And I know I'll get up there to play a couple outings during the season if I'm able to. And then, obviously, when baseball's over, I'll start to play a lot more, and Crown Hill will definitely be on my schedule frequently.
Yeah, and we kind of talked this spring segment is going to be called that, just spring segment. And I think we're going to kind of start it off in the first spring segment with what makes spring so unique. We kind of alluded to it. You said welcome to spring there, Derek. What do you think makes spring unique?
Well, I mean, just in the first week here, you never know. I can be covering a game and have an entire week planned out. And then, you know, on the fly, I've got to change everything.
Yeah.
because if it rains a little bit, if it's too cold, there's a wind chill. If something happens where it rained yesterday and they didn't get the field ready the next day. So, what makes spring unique for me as a journalist is that you're just constantly having to go by the seat of your pants, if you would. In basketball, you're usually going to play.
Mm-hmm.
In football, you're usually going to play. Even when you get into soccer and volleyball and even the other sports, I mean, like a track, mm-hmm. even in the spring, Shane, I mean, usually they're going to have those events or some of those events, but baseball and softball, which is, you know, what we try to focus our coverage on because they're, if you would, the money making sports. If it rains a little bit, if it drizzles, if it's a mist, you just never know. And honestly, I'll tell you this as well. You might be able to hear it in my voice. Just being out in the rain and being out in the weather and in the cold. It makes it interesting for me because I've already got a sinus infection over here. So, and that's, honestly, about this time of the year, that's exactly what happens. I get my sinus infection, it goes away, and, I kind of deal with the rest of spring. So that's something I don't look forward to, but it makes it fun for me just to be able to go by the seat of my pants and kind of be creative with how we do what we do.
Don't blow your nose into the microphone, okay?
No, I won't do that.
Well, Shane, your thoughts then on why spring is so unique?
Well, I think that's what's going to be so fun about this segment is we're going to have a long list of things we talk about. The one thing I wanted to talk about here on the preview show is the everyday grind.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlike any other sport. I mean, in football, you prepare for once a week.
Right.
In basketball, two, sometimes three times a week. But even then, you'll have some segments of practice throughout the year. Volleyball, some Tuesday, Thursday, sometimes a Saturday. You'll still fall into at least having some opportunity to get with your kids. A lot of times what happens is you don't have time to worry about winning and losing. You kind of have to stay even keel, and you mm-hmm. have to learn on the run. You have to, it's just like I know tonight before coming on the air, I'm breaking down a lot of film here, trying to take a look at some kids at bats that we get on film. And that's hard to do. We're in basketball and football and other sports. I know you just have a lot more film time. I know we've been fortunate at Payne Valley. We played, six times in the first 8 days? Would have played seven. Actually, our only game that was rained out, Derek, was at the VA.
Uh-huh.
Figure that. It's a situation where it's an everyday thing where you're at it, and it's really unlike any other sport, and it kind of makes it unique, but it makes it fun too, and it keeps it busy, and keeps people involved and keeps them interested, I think.
Yeah, and if you got some other things that you think is so unique about spring, you can communicate with us a little bit later. We'll go over that. But those weather and the everyday grind are the two topics that we thought we'd discuss tonight here.
Hey, and I think I've got an interesting one, too, on the baseball preview show, too. So if you're listening to this, make sure you go over and listen to that one as well. I think we have a good opener there as well.
That will be published on Tuesday night. This one's going to be published on Monday night, and that will be episode 215 on Tuesday night. So Great stuff there. Appreciate Crown Hill helping us out on that segment. We're going to head now to a couple fan questions that we have. This brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Print. You know that C&K has been one of our sponsors for a long time. They're now kind of diversifying into Mile Tree Screen Print and now located at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. Phone number down there is 740-774-3306. And I'll tell you, you can follow both C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Print on Facebook. They've got some neat stuff, a lot of embroidery, obviously screen printing as well, and I guess they're going to continue to take care of some softball and baseball teams through the C&K Athletic Equipment. So give them a call, follow them on Facebook, where you'll find all kinds of information, including their business hours. So in our inbox, we have this first question regarding softball. And it says, with so much college talent graduating from SVC in the last several years, do you feel the level of softball is in jeopardy of dropping? Derek, we'll go to you first.
You know, I think Shane said it earlier. I think it's more of maybe if you're looking at a Division I talent level pitcher, a Division I talent level batter, are we going to see that maybe this year or maybe not? You know, I'm not saying it can't happen or you know, some of our younger, you know, kids can't develop into that. But I don't think we have that Mikayla Newland this year. Not even in the circle, and maybe not even a Becca Brown or Elena Lido in years past or, you know, whatever it may be, whoever it may be. I see the point in that question. However, I think with all of that college talent graduating, I think you're going to see the level of softball kind of rise and, as Shane said, create parity. Mm-hmm. You know, while Unioda and Westfall, yeah, may be the favorites just because they're the proven programs. They win, you know, almost every year, you know, or so in the last decade or so. I think you're going to also see some teams, you know, like Piketon, like Huntington, even like an Adina that's improved. You know, I think you're going to see some of those teams maybe give the Westfall and Unioda's of the world all they want and some more. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are you going to see that again? Are you going to see that D1 pitcher? No, not. I don't think you're going to have that college talent. You're going to have that dropping off the table. But I think it raises everybody up into maybe the same category.
Okay. Shane, your thoughts?
I think it's interesting how, you know, when you go back through with Geno and Newland and you get a Westfall state championship there and Paint Valley was in the Final Four that same year when they were in D4. And it's crazy to think where the league's been. I know the Lytle group you mentioned, Huntington, was in the regional. But I think for me, Derek, I think that what's going to happen is our league always allows new stars to be born. Mm-hmm. You know, I think every time we go through this discussion in sports, it seems like it won't be long until 5 to 10 games into the year, you're going to start to see the new player of the year candidates. You know, we mentioned the young kid there from Huntington. We mentioned Pinkerton from Unioda. A lot of times in softball, it is the kid that can do it with the arm and the bat. They obviously get a little bit more exposure from that standpoint. But a lot of times it'll be interesting to study the catcher position and who's going to offer some different things there around the league or who's going to give that defense and in some speed situations, like you mentioned a couple kids earlier. So I think overall that's a fair statement that some people have sent to me, but I would say the level of softball has been so high, just to say it's dropped a little bit, certainly doesn't indicate that it's going to be poor. You know, I think we're in for a great spring in softball, and I think it wouldn't surprise me at all within the next couple of weeks we're sitting on here starting to talk about some of these new stars that are really starting to come to the top.
Okay, we had another fan question regarding softball come in. And it asks, would you favor a rule that did not allow a young lady to throw more than 21 innings in any 5-day period? Shane, we're going to go to you first on this.
Derek, I'm always fascinated. Obviously, the baseball coach in me, I'm always fascinated by this question on softball. And here's where I stand on it. I want to be real clear here so I don't really stir anything up on the softball side. I am not qualified to say, I have not studied the motion. I don't have the medical background of the arm or the different things. From a medical safety issue, I am not qualified to say if a kid should or should not be throwing you know, 4, 5, 6 days a week, or should be throwing both games of a doubleheader on Saturday. So again, I don't know. What I can comment on is someone who loves sports and someone who really, really analyzes all sports. I think it would be fascinating to the game itself, to the competition of our league. I think it would grow the game if there was something that forced teams throughout a 14-team league schedule, and especially through a 27-game regular season schedule, to at least have to go to a second, sometimes third arm. And the only reason I would say that is I think we're losing kids in softball, Derek, because as a junior high teacher, it's nuts how fifth and sixth graders and seventh graders are starting to go to all these pitching coaches, and they're figuring out, and they're going here. And what kind of happens is when you start to get into sixth or seventh grade, if you start to see, well, these pitchers are ahead of me, you know, I'm going to kind of go the AAU basketball or club volleyball route. I've seen that happen. I know at least two schools in the SVC where they see a big-time pitcher a grade ahead of them, and they're like, ah, I'm never going to get to do that. We've just kind of wasted all this time and money. You know, that's just one thing in terms of getting more kids involved. But I also think there's a competitive balance thing that it would really make it intriguing to see if that second arm had to get involved. Now, there are people out there that disagree with me, Derek. They say actually it hurts because they say now all of a sudden if the small school does have the Michaela Newland come through, a Paint Valley immediately becomes a contender, where if you force the ball out of her hands in seven league games – maybe not. The 21 innings is interesting because you could still throw your Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So, you know, again, medically, Bruce, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know, have a clue what I'm saying there. But from a competition standpoint, maybe it's just the baseball coach in me, really, really intrigued or really open-minded to some sort of limit on the pitcher.
Derek, what do you think as a journalist and a sports fan about that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, look, I'm never going to say no to watching a Michaela Newland pitch or Morgan Geno pitch. I mean, because let's face it, for me, it makes the game a lot quicker, so I get back to the office and I can hit my deadline. And for two, it's fun to watch. I mean, it makes softball just for me just so much more fun to watch because you can watch somebody great do what they do best. Would I favor a rule that didn't allow that you know young lady to throw? I don't know. I'm kind of, I guess, on the fence. I'm not trying to be a politician here.
Okay.
It just, you know, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter, you know, to be honest with you. I don't think I see both sides of the argument. But in my position, you know, I'm going to watch the game anyway. So, you know, I see why, you know, opposing teams would be against that rule, why opposing teams would be for that rule, or a team like a like a Paint Valley with a Newland last year, like would be against it. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're a team with a dominant pitcher, obviously you're going to not like that rule.
Right.
But for an Adina, for a Huntington a year ago, you know, for a Paint Valley this year, even obviously, yeah, they'd be for that rule. And I think it would create competitive balance.
Yeah, this would be a great question for fan feedback too, as well, because I'm sure there are people out there on the fence and on either side of the fence as well for the and then the, I guess, Shane, the 21 innings, three full games is what that's aimed at. Why three? I mean, just
I can't comment on that. I'm guessing that they're at least looking at the situation of you could pitch the Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind with rain sometimes, you may get into a situation where we play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or something like that. That would be a little different. So I don't even know that particular thing would do a whole lot other than to influence some non-league games or an occasional league game. I think you'd have to get it down into more of the old 10-inning, 3-day type of thing if you're really going to impact a second arm.
If nothing else, it'd give the softball coaches the same kind of heartburn you have sometimes, huh?
Yeah,
with pitching. All right, well, let's move along then to our segment. I'll let you discuss this. How about that? Brought to you by Crown Hill, Shane.
Yeah, well, we always do something, you know, throughout over the years. We've had our extra innings or we've had our fast break or so forth. This spring, we're going to do a new segment called Three Up, Three Down. It's going to be the same type of thing where we have Bruce throw out three kind of more of a rapid fire, a little quicker pace question. And Derek will go first and I'll go second. This is always going to be brought to our fans by Crown Hill Golf Club. Bruce mentioned them earlier. I want to do that again. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. That's Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call. Let them know SVC Sports Talk sent you. But Bruce, if you're all right, then we'll go through this first segment of the spring, or three up, three down. Derek, go ahead and go first, and I'll follow up with our softball answers.
It is said that so much starts and ends with pitching. Which team owns a pitching staff that will make them tough to beat?
This question, you have to look at Unyoto with both Hallie Pinkerton and Josie Fisher in the circle. You know, both have played in big games now from last year. Both have the experience to be dominant, and both have the talent to be dominant. So, you know, when you look at a team, usually, especially in our league, you know, you have maybe one pitcher that can go out and win a game, any game for you. Unyoto has two, in my opinion, Josie and Hallie.
Can't disagree with that at all with the Pinkerton Fisher comment there. I am intrigued with Alexander at Piketon, with Kello at Huntington. I know there's some experience at catcher there with the young Kello kid throwing to an experienced catcher in Straw's ball. But yeah, I can't disagree with that when you look at pitching, and particularly having the two arms if needed in Pinkerton and Fisher.
On the other side, who has the scariest offense in terms of the ability to just flat hit?
If you look at the start of the season, I'm still, you know, you still have to look at a Huntington to where they're putting up 22 in a game, 17 in a game, and you know, just goes on and on for those guys. Beat Lynchburg Clay twice, North Adams once. So if I'm looking at the best start, it's Huntington. If you're looking at the best, scariest offense, and maybe something that will sustain itself throughout the course of the year, you know, I think you do have to look at a Unyoto. You have to look at a Westfall at the top there, because they've proven they can do it throughout a whole season. So I think Haley Holt, Shane, is going to be you know, one of our league's best hitters. Just watching her get to play on Tuesday night, you know, you can really tell the intensity she brings and the presence that she brings to the plate. The Westfall's got you know, a whole list of kids that you know, can really put a power, you know, thunderbolts at the plate over the fence. So I would go with those three right now: Unyoto, Westfall, and Huntington.
Certainly can't disagree with any of the Huntington or Unyoto particulars he was mentioning. To me, Bruce, it has to be Westfall here. You're talking about a long list of athletes that they spend a lot of time playing softball. They spend a lot of time really working the swing. They have experience against a lot of elite pitching. So, again, in a year where the pitching is very talented but maybe a little unproven still in the league, I think it takes a lot of pressure off the Westfall pitching and defense with the ability of where they're going to hit it 1-9 and create offense. So for me, answer number two here, I'd have to go with the Lady Mustangs of Westfall.
Which team do you believe is showing some early season intangibles that could make them more of a threat to the top half than perhaps the preseason critiques originally thought?
Well, I've said Huntington a lot, and that would also be my answer here. But just to play devil's advocate, you know, Shane, I'll go with a Piketon team that does bring in Cammy Alexander in the circle. You know, she's a junior now. She's had two years of experience. And, you know, if I've got her in the circle, they were in the regional semifinals last year with her in the circle. They lose a 5-0 to a really, really good Wheelersburg program at their first game of the season this year. So, you know, just with her in the circle, I think they're going to be in every game they play in a league format. They also do have some hitters as well. You have Grayson Smith there, Avery Reuter. You know, I'm with Piketon and the way that they played before, and with the group that they took to a regional semifinal, because a lot of people don't understand that experience is so valuable even during the next regular season. You know, I think they could make some noise in the top half.
Yeah, I think a lot of this has to do, when I break down question down, Bruce, is, you know, where Where do you see these teams going into the season, and where do people that have contacted the website see them? You know, I think a lot of people have kind of looked at Pike and Huntington in that 3-4 mix. So if you kind of feel like they are there, then maybe you don't feel like they're going to overachieve as much, unless you think they're going to really compete for a league title. When I look at this question, I just wonder, Derek, if Edina couldn't end up sneaking themselves into this. A lot of people still feel like they're going to be down the last couple. Yeah, I start to wonder, could they creep up into that five hole? Could they be the top half team on a given night? With Butler in the circle, some experience there. I mentioned over the weekend a couple kids with some power, with Stark and Johnson. I know Shepherd and Garrison and so forth. They had several kids with two hits. And I don't know. I just think that I've watched this young group of ladies grow, and now some of these kids have over 50 varsity games under their belt, and you just wonder if they're not ready to take that next step of creeping into that five hole and maybe starting to get really, really competitive with the top half.
And there you have our three up and three down. Again, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Clubs. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. They're located at 9500 U.S. Highway 22 in Williamsport. Tell them the boys from SVC Sports Sock sent you. We've been asking and talking a little bit about fan feedback. A lot of our programs center around that. And so if you'd like to contact these gentlemen and either agree with them or disagree with them or provide more input, you can do so by the following methods. First, for Shane, there's email. His email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. Too many ats in all these addresses and so forth. admin1@svcsportzone.com. He also maintains two profiles on Facebook where you can contact him via Messenger. On Twitter, his handle is @svcsportzone.com. The good doctor, Mr. D.R. Webb at thechillicothegazette.com, loves to get email, I'm sure. And he also is a very active Twitter user with the verified account, the only one that I know personally. So I've got that going for me. His handle there, @DW1509. Of course, we'd ask that you consider subscribing to our podcast either through iTunes or doing so on the DBK Media Services website. Give us a favorable rating, and you can also find us as well on Stitcher.com. We move to post-game comments, again brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment and Mile Tree Screen Print, located now at 233 Rennick Avenue in Chillicothe. Phone number there, 740-774-3306. Right now, they're going through transition. We talked about that earlier, but you can follow them on Facebook and get additional information, including their business hours. I did notice that was out there on Facebook as well. Well, gentlemen, in our post-game comments, we're going to just kind of take a little look here at track because it's winding up as well. Derek, I know this is a topic near and dear to your heart. What's your thoughts on track as we get into this season?
Well, I mean, you know, the cool thing about track is that every year you have some of your area athletes can go to a state level. Whereas, you know, in a team sport, which track's a team sport, but I mean, it's also an individual sport when you get to the tournament level. But, you know, in a softball, I mean, you got to have, you know, 9, 10, 11 girls get together and win a game. You know, on the track, and you know, you can maybe have a good day, and not that you're not talented, but if you have a good day, one of your best of the season at the right level, if you go to a regional, and then you're going to go to the state, and then you can place at the state. I mean, so I think that's the cool thing with track, that it gives that opportunity, you know, to individuals, whereas a baseball and a softball doesn't. But you know, I think when you look at our track, our area's track outlook. You do have the Paint Valley. I think, obviously, they're the reigning SVC champs, and I think they're going to be good again this year. They do lose Jacob Pott, was a double state champion last year, but Travis Burden kind of slides in for him and is expected to take that over. Then you got, you know, the and this is on the boys' side, obviously, but you got the kids like Braden Eisen, Travis Burden, Garrett Trent, Tiger Tessie, Noah Davis, Caden Summer. I mean, the list goes on and on for these guys. So they're going to be good. In a team sense, they're going to be good in an individual sense. And you know, even when you look at last year's state qualifiers, Piketon's got Luke Nichols, Southeastern with Elaine Ruby, Unionoda with Autumn Mohan. She should be back and just as good as ever. You know, maybe Zane Trace with they're always pretty decent on the girls' side. Could sneak a couple to state. And when you get to state, you know, when you get to Columbus, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my favorite events of the year, just because you just never know. I mean, Jacob Ott we knew was good last year, but he won two state championships and the shot in the discus. So, you know, I didn't see that coming. We knew he might place, but maybe he'd even win a state title or was expected to win one in one of those events. But both, I mean, that's saying something. So, I was gone last year and, I really didn't get a lot of the chance to watch some track. But here in the next 2-3 weeks, you know, obviously we're going to cover a lot. So I'm excited.
Shane, your thoughts on track?
Yeah, I think what's interesting for me with track is the way they're able to ease into the season and really find their chemistry, find where they need to put people. And there's not so much, negative that can take place early. It's just like here we are on a Sunday night. We start this week. If you're a baseball team or a softball team that has, you know, hopes of competing for an SVC title, you can't really go out this week and go 1-2 or 0-3, mm-hmm. or you're almost in trouble before you start, where that's not really what the track teams are under. I see more patience. I talked about 3 or 4 track coaches this past week on the boys and girls side, and I see a little bit more patience, you know, in terms of finding this out. Hey, I know that he or she can run this, but I need to see them run it under the pressure, under the lights of a big invitational or a big meet to kind of see what I have for later in the year at the SVC meet or the tournament. So I think those are some of the things that, again, we talk about this unique spring segment that we're going to be doing throughout the year. I think those are some of the thoughts that come to my mind when I look at track.
All right. Any other storylines that either of you guys are kind of thinking about?
Well, I think for me on the girls' side here, just to highlight some of the girls here, sure. on the girls' show, I think you mentioned Mohan. I think that Cammie Chandler's a special athlete.
Uh-huh.
I think that Putnam and Adina is another one that returns throwing, if I'm not mistaken. I think, you know, I'm really anxious to start to break down. We've had the Zane Trace here, but I'm really anxious to break down some early ones and start to see if we can't look at some of our SVC favorites, because a lot of times what happens on the team event, Bruce, you know, a Zane Trace or a Uniota will kind of climb to the top there on the girls' side just because of their ability to spread their depth across all the events. But that's still not to say that you still don't have some really, really special talent in some of the hurdles or in some of the field events or obviously, like I mentioned, the throwing there. So that's going to be the exciting thing to me is to pick out these handful of individuals from the other schools that are going to maybe challenge for some individual titles.
All right. Well, Shane, that puts a capper on episode 214, our preview of the girls' side. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's a great start. I would encourage fans to take a look at the boys' side as well, and then join us next week and as we get going on our normal shows, where we'll be breaking it down at the same time on something closer to our hour time slot. So, guys, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVC Sports. SportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVC SportZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.